Well, praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Well, Father, that is our prayer, Lord. We do need you. Today, more than ever, do we need you, Lord. And Father, I pray for this service here today as your word goes forth. I pray once again for our friend and brother in Christ, Mark, that he would preach the word boldly, that people would understand and hear the word of God. I pray, Lord, that they will ask you to come into their heart. Those who don't know you, let this be their spiritual birthday today, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for all the food that's come in. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless it to our bodies. And all the clothes that are out there in the hallway, everything here has been donated and given free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we do once again thank you in advance for all that's going to happen today at this service. Save your people, Lord. From the awful place in hell, Lord, that they will face if they don't know you. And Father, once again, use your servant Mark, Lord, to preach the word. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, that was one beautiful prayer. Thank you, Jesus. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Oh, good morning, everyone. Appreciate you coming out today. Hey, it's all about perspective. It's a beautiful day to somebody. Yeah, I was talking to a friend that lives in a drought-stricken area in the country. They have no rain. I'm like, please take our rain. But, you know, hey, what I'm going to say here, nothing can change what I'm going to say here. Here goes. You ready? I'm speaking to myself too, by the way. We're in this together, seriously. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, think about that just for a minute. What if, and I pray that you didn't, but what if you got a phone call this week that was devastating to you? What if you got news this week that was the biggest blessing you ever had in your life and you didn't even ask God for it? He just loves you so much, he just did something great for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Or what if it was something in between? It's still the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so thankful that I'm thinking that way now. It has not always been this way. But God is doing a great work in my life. I'm watching His hand move moment by moment so quickly at times I can't keep up with it. Jesus, be with us this morning. There is somebody here, I don't know if it's male, female, or both, that is absolutely hungry for what you're going to say through me today. This person is going to not only listen clearly, but they're going to latch on. They're going to latch on like a gaff in a large fish. And they're going to latch on to this, and they're going to take it. They're going to take it to the sick and the suffering. They're going to take it to a lost and dying and hurting world. They're even going to take it to those that are being blessed abundantly. But they're just not sure where those blessings come from. And it all comes from you, Lord. You paid the price at Calvary. You love us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said in agreement, please. Amen. 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 Praise God. Give the Lord a hand this morning. God is worthy, isn't He? God is so worthy. Hey, just while your hands are warmed up, I know you appreciate the kitchen. My goodness, all that food back there. Give them a hand, please. And all their hard work. Hey, and let me just say, this worship team and Dwayne's singing and Mike's up singing occasionally, and the gift that you gave Steve to play this organ, and Judy and her beautiful voice that comes from her heart, if you appreciate and love them, give them a hand, please, please. Well, thank you so much for coming out today. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to keep this extremely simple because that helps me. If I keep it simple and I let the power of the gospel do what it does and God do what He do, well, look out. That's all I'm going to say. I wanted to talk about a couple things. Here's the first one. Happiness that becomes joy. All right? Happiness that becomes joy. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. I remember many, many years back, I went on this incredible trip, and I just about had to sell my firstborn at work to achieve this trip. And I went to this part of the world that I didn't even know existed, and I just remember being there. And hey, this was a dry time for me. This was a sober time for me. I think that at the time that my wife and I were probably the only people that weren't participating in the flow of alcohol and who knows what else was going on. And I'm just saying, I really believe we had the best time of anybody. So I think we could say in history, we've heard it say, I've been to the mountaintop. I've been to the mountaintop. But I have also been to the valley. And I'm just going to say that a dear friend of mine that used to preach down here, and you could grab him on the internet, Pastor Harold May, his messages are on the Jesus Said Ministry website. He used to say to me all the time, he'd say, Mark, he'd say, the mountaintop experience is wonderful, but it's rock up there. It's rock. There's not a lot of growth up there. He said, the valley is moist. In our case, it's wet. It's all right. We're going to get through this. It's moist. The grass is green. The flowers are growing and blooming. And there's growth in the valley. Now, listen, I don't know anybody that is going to say, I love being in the valley. David writes, as you know, and as I know, and this is a prayer that's become, well, a prayer. The psalm has become a prayer for me. The Lord is my shepherd. Period. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Hey, if He can restore my soul, which is the depth of me, the core of me, that falls right in the category of He conquered death. Romans says, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Man, Jesus Christ has conquered death. Are you kidding me? How is that possible? Listen, if he could conquer something like death, if He could restore my soul, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, if He can restore my soul, He could do anything. If He could conquer death, He could take what we read about and know about and cry about every day in our city. Last night I had an incredible time. I was hanging out with some beautiful people. Most of them heroin addicts. We had a spiritual experience last night. That's all I'm going to say. Jesus was there.
Amen.
Pray for these guys. Listen, some of them really want help. Some of them really want help. But guess what the common denominator in all of them is? And I was a little bit triggered last night. I was thinking back to my, not just my party days, but my heavy party days. I was thinking back to my 24/7. Of course, I did sleep at times. But I was just thinking about the daily misery I was creating. I created my own misery. God didn't do it. And I am certain that God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Some of you know the words I'm saying right now. But the common denominator in these guys last night was this. Pain. Pain. And I'm not talking about just physical pain. I'm talking about emotional pain. And then somebody gives me a old newspaper. See, this is how God, He's so amazing. They give me this old newspaper from Medina. I'm in Akron. I get this Medina Gazette, And on the front page, I'm reading about this new house that's going to be opening up for sober aftercare living. And I'm praying that the theme, I'm going to just say it. I'm praying that the theme is not just the 12-step program, but Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. Because as I was talking with Steve just this morning, this finishes a complete circle. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. And I've been holding on to that newspaper, just reading that front page. So yesterday, had to get some work done with the car, and I thought, well, I don't have nothing to read. You know, you can go crazy sitting there waiting for that stuff, right? And I didn't want to read, I love sports, but I didn't want to read Sports Illustrated. I didn't want to read Family Circle, and I didn't want to read Better Homes and Gardens. I thought, oh, I got that newspaper article. I'm going to read and meditate on that again because I want to pray on that because lives are going to be saved there. And souls are going to be saved there. So I thought, wonder what's inside the paper. So I've never looked inside the old newspaper. I opened it up, and you know what the article was from St. Louis? From St. Louis! Death by Despair. That was the title of the article. Death by Despair. And what the article was about our society that's dying because of despair. Listen, despair could also be called, it could be called loneliness, all right? It could be called any emotional breakdown that a person might have, any physical breakdown a person might have. These aren't people that are partying because, hey, let's go party, let's go get a buzz. Let's go party, let's go get a buzz. They're saying, no, make it stop. Make my pain stop.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Make my hurting stop. Listen, you don't have to believe me, but I'm evidence that it's true. There's only one. There's only one who can take the pain away.
Hallelujah.
He took it to the cross.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't have to go there. I'll tell you what, I remember Steve and I, we'll have these stories. We'll talk and something will hit him. He'll tell me, something will hit me. I'll tell him. And I don't have the address of the verse here, but it's in my head. But when they came to arrest Jesus, some of you will remember this story. If it's the first time you heard it, I think it will make sense. It won't sound like a foreign language. I want to keep it simple. They came to arrest Jesus. And it's the section where Peter struck the guard and cut off his ear. And no big deal, Jesus picks up the ear, puts it back on the soldier and goes like that, and the soldier is healed. This is my opinion. I don't know if it's any commentaries or whatever, but I think the reason that Jesus healed Peter that very moment, he had such huge plans for Peter. Peter would have been arrested and killed for striking that guard. You know he wanted to kill that guard. The guard just went like this. He probably went like this. And Peter hit his ear instead of right across the head, right? Jesus said, you came from me, leave them be. I am he. And when he said, I am he, they fell back. They fell back when he said, I am he. Now, I'm just telling you, when he spoke to me, I don't remember really falling back. But I remember falling down. I remember falling down on my knees. We got a spiritual anniversary coming up here, June the 9th, 1985. Opened up my heart to Jesus Christ. And you know how much I understood? About that much. You know, I just believed what the preacher said. I didn't even like the preacher. In the previous weeks before that, I said to my wife when we got out in the car, we're going to church, right? I'm sitting in that church with a horrible hangover. I know I reeked of alcohol. I know I did. Mensa couldn't cover it all. I'm sweating and I'm thinking, God just... No, I probably didn't say God. I don't know what I said. I'm just like, I got to get through this. I got to get through this. She wants to go to church. The kids wants to go to church. And I want to sleep in and I don't want to be here. But what did he just say about 740 years before Christ was born? These prophecies were written in this book. Hey, I'm not stupid, and I don't like that word. I use it very rarely, but I am not stupid. If there's something in this book that was written 700 plus years ago and it came true, I'm going to pay attention to that. And that guy got a hold of me. And from Easter Sunday in 1985, I think it was in March that year, computer would tell me, to June, I'm listening to the gospel. And I went up to that altar and I didn't fall back. When I heard I am He, I fell down on that altar and I prayed and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. And I haven't been the same since. Would you please listen to this little something here? Somebody got me this book called The Spirit Calling. I'm not even sure who the authors are because there's just multiple people that participated in the writing of this little book. Listen to this pertaining to happiness and joy. I think you're going to like this. This is for today, May the 6th. Joy, a way of life. I've said it to you before, that happiness and joy are not one and the same. By the way, I'm not picking on happiness, okay? I'm just saying, this is very important. Happiness is fleeting, a mood dictated by events. Joy is a way of life. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Real joy comes from knowing Jesus as your Savior and having my presence residing within your heart. Your mood may change due to pain, heartbreak, trials, but the deep down joy of being a child of God will never leave you. Listen, one of my spiritual mentors is 8 years old. Honestly, I'm serious. She's the most beautiful little girl. Her mother is an alcoholic and her father is a drug addict alcoholic. I'm not judging them, I'm just saying, okay? She lives with her grandma and her aunts and she's back and forth and some couple times she woke up in her apartment and there was nobody there. And grandma, I woke up and nobody was here. You know, these things happen, right? But please, don't condemn the parents. Pray for them, right? Pray for them, please. You know what she says to me? Mr. Mark, you're a beautiful, wonderful child of God, Mr. Mark. You know who taught her that? Me. I told her that. She come over to her aunt's house and I'm out there raking leaves and working in the garden. And I said, Zari, what, you hear those birds? She's like, yeah, I hear the birds. I said, you hear what they're saying? You hear what they're saying? Those birds are saying, you're a beautiful, wonderful child of God. Every time she hears birds singing, she thinks, I am a beautiful, wonderful child of God. You know, I need stuff like that. So when you hear birds singing, and by the way, they're singing in this crazy rain, Joe. This weather is going to continue for a few more days, and the birds are still be singing. You know, and hey, we're standing here. We got food. The lights are on. The water's running. I got a story from a missionary last couple weeks. This little boy, maybe some of you saw this. He walks about a mile and a half down a mountain. That's one big mountain. He walks a mile and a half down the mountain from his village that's up way high because the water source is down in this valley. And all these people, probably, who knows, might be the size of this room, they're all gathered by this pool. And he's waiting to get water. And then he's carrying it back up the hill when it's his turn to go get the water. You think he's showering with that water? No way. That's water to drink. That's water to cook with. My goodness, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, but we got, I don't know how many connections back there with hot and cold and the restroom here and the restrooms there and indoor plumbing and toilets and change of clothes. I'm just trying to get my gratitude list big. I'm trying to get it off the charts because that's the contents of joy. Let me continue this here. I left off with this, but deep down joy is being a child of God and that I will never leave you. Jesus said it best. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Forsake means abandon. He won't abandon me. He's not going to leave me like an orphan. He loves the orphans. James 1:27, it's our signature verse for Jesus said. Religion that God looks at. That's the kind of religion I want to follow, by the way, because I'm not a very religious person. I'm just telling you right now. I had a guy from years ago. I worked at Coca-Cola back in the 70s and early 80s. And check this out. This guy, I've told this story before. He called my house. He tracked me down. This was before social media. He probably found me in a phone book when we used to have those. And he called my house. And he said, "Is Mark there?" And my wife said, "He's not home. Can I take a message?" "Yeah, tell him Joe from Coca-Cola called. And I just wanted to tell him that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I never told this guy about Jesus Christ, not one minute. This guy was an animal. This guy was mean. He was nasty. I avoided him. But you never know who's listening and watching, I guess. You know, I just didn't go to work talking about wine, women, and song. I kept my mouth clean. And, well, the other day I was hanging around some guys and I was just teasing them and they didn't know it. But I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting smoking and cussing again." They're like, "You're going to what?" I said, "I'm thinking about starting smoking and cussing again." "Why do you want to do that?" "I just thought I'd make more friends that way. I just try to make a joke out of it instead of hurting somebody's feelings, you know, because our language to me, it kind of defines a person, you know. I want to talk clean. I want Jesus to hear me talking clean. I'm not trying to judge anybody here today, but we're different people. We're child of God, children of God, and people are listening and people are watching. He loves the orphans. He loves the widows. Religion that God looks at as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by this world. Man, there's pollution out there and it's trying to get all over me and it's trying to get all over you. And I'll tell you what, pray for me. I'll pray for you. It's the pollution's been chasing me this week. I'm serious. The pollution's been chasing me this week. I'm just being honest with you. I'm powerless over all this stuff. I have no power. My life's unmanageable without Jesus Christ. I was insane, but now I'm sane. He's brought me back. I turned it all over to Him. I've made amends to people. I take my inventory every day. I try to practice this every day, all these principles. All these principles that Jesus Christ is teaching us. Listen to the end of this, just a little bit here, please. Okay, Jesus said it best. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews chapter 5. If you don't own a Bible or don't know a Bible, there's a New Testament and an Old Testament. Don't overwhelm yourself if you're just getting into this book. Just know this. There's a table of contents in every book we buy. Okay? So don't be embarrassed. Look up the book called Hebrews. When you go to it, the chapters will be marked with numbers. And this one says number 13. And then all the copy, all the lines have little numbers next to them, 1 through whatever. This is line or verse 5. So Hebrews 13:5. Table of contents. Try it. "This truth can bring inexpressible, unfathomable elation to your heart. The God of the universe sent me to dwell in you so you would never have to be alone. Weeping may last for a night, but joy that comes from your Savior will sustain you from now until you see the source of all joy face to face." I'm going to tell you what, there's such a huge difference between happiness and joy. A couple more minutes here. I want to talk about another person. Okay, I am evidence of happiness becoming joy. You are evidence, a lot of you, of happiness becoming joy because Christ has become your Lord, your Savior. Hey, and you know what else He's become? He's become your friend. He calls us friends. He doesn't. And if we're slaves to anything, now we're slaves to righteousness, you know? We're slaves to righteousness is such a wonderful lifestyle. I want to read to you about a slave. I want to read to you about a slave. His name was Saul. S-A-U-L. Saul of Tarsus. He lived in a village called Tarsus. Some of you know your Bible. You'll know that he later became Paul. P-A-U-L. And he wrote this. Paul wrote this. Paul wrote in Philippians. That's another city, okay? That city had a jail. Paul is in jail. Let's face it. Jail is rough. Jail's a valley. And you know what? If I could change one thing about my life, I saw the inside of a jail a few times, and somebody bailed me out. Now listen, please don't hear me say something wrong here. I wish those people would not have bailed me out. I'm just saying that because I had 30 years of misery because of it. I had a lot of years of misery because of it. I needed to pay the price for my circumstances. I earned that, our sister just said. And I don't remember how I got out. I don't remember who got me out. I just know I got out. And I just remember seeing them judges. I'll never forget Judge Joyce George, if somebody remembers her. I'll never remember looking at her and being so terrified when I look into that large woman's eyes. She looked like she wanted to take my head off and lock me up at Sing Sing for the rest of my life. And somehow, I either talked my way out, or I know I lied my way out. Please don't hold this against me. There's a piece of Saul of Tarsus in me. For those of you who know who he was a persecutor of the church. This is what this man did. I'm going to read to you something he said here in a minute. As Paul, when he changed, when he completely changed, he changed from happiness to joy. He changed from Saul to Paul. I think I'm getting my two-step back, Sam. Okay, we'll dance later. But let's get back to this. So, here's the story. Saul would arrest men and women and their children and probably make them either slaves or put them in prison or kill them or all the above. He was a persecutor of the church. And Jesus said, I've had enough. Jesus said, I've had enough. I want to read to you a little bit here. We're going to be a few more minutes. I appreciate everybody listening. I really, really do. This is helping me and I hope it's helping somebody. This is in a book called Acts. Again, don't be ashamed to go to your table of contents if the Bible is new to you. If you know your Bible, you'll know that Acts is in what we call the New Testament. This is after Jesus had risen from the dead. Wow, did I just say Jesus had risen from the dead? Man, that seals the deal for everything, doesn't it? Saul's conversion. Acts chapter 9. There's a big 9 right by the beginning of this section here. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that he found... Wait a minute. He asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, capital W, the way of following Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Listen to Saul's response. Even as a murderer, as a criminal, as a villain, as a people hater. Verse 5 says, who are you, Lord? I guess when God speaks, we know it's Him. That's my only interpretation of that. If God is speaking, there's just no mistake in His voice. It's written in red now. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. We would have done the same thing. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. Verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias! This story is like crazy. This is God, so powerful. God loves to show off. And not because He's full of pride, but He's God and He can do whatever He wants. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Oh, boy. He's praying. Please don't have hurt feelings by this, but how is your prayer life these days? I'm just telling you right now that my prayer life has changed a 180. I'm not on my knees all day long, but I'll tell you one thing I do in the morning. I roll out of bed, and I think my knees hit the floor before my feet do. It's important to me. You know, your mind has a bullseye on it. And the enemy wants to get in there as quick as he can. And I'm just like, God, I offer myself to you. Would you relieve me of the bondage of myself? Would you take away my difficulties? The victory, whoa, man. The victory over them may bear witness of your power and your love and your way of life. May I do your will always, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray that. In the Holy Spirit's name, I pray that. In God the Father's name, I pray that. Amen. Then I get up. I have to do that. I have to do that. Thank you, Steve. He's a praying man. In a vision, he's seen a man. Check this out. This is what the Lord is saying to Ananias. Ananias, in a vision, Saul has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Jesus is in the restoration business, folks. And he's not going to stop if we want to be restored. Some of us aren't done. I lived for years playing the game. I'm done, I'll start again. I'm done, I'll start again. Some of us aren't done. And that breaks my heart. But thank God we have this Savior who doesn't like just say, I've had enough. You've had your 100 chances. You want to keep walking in them 100 forms of fear? You want to keep walking that way? You got all the power? You got all the management skills for your life? Go ahead. Go ahead. He doesn't push himself on anybody. This is what Isaiah says. I'm going to close with this. Isaiah says, all day long, I hold out my hands, I hold out my arms to a stubborn, please don't take this personal. Let's just say he's talking to me. I'll put myself on the spot here. All day long, I hold out my hands and my arms to a stubborn and obstinate people, longing to take them in. Would you bow your heads with me today? Lord, I know you're here. You said you would be. You said if we gathered in your name, even just two of us, you'd be in our presence. Some of us are feeling God just drawing, and their hearts are beating like boom, 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 boom. I remember when my heart was doing that, Lord. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? Why am I feeling this feeling? I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm so thankful that I came to you. I'm so thankful that you came to me. I'm so thankful that you came to Saul. You could have just let him die or just struck him dead. Yet you restored him, and he gives us things like the book of Philippians that says, rejoice in the Lord always. He's in jail saying that. I'll say it again, rejoice. He's in prison with Silas, and it's midnight in Acts chapter 16. And it says at midnight, Paul and Silas are singing hymns and praising God, and the other prisoners are listening to them, and the walls fell down. Lord God, I'm thinking if that was me, I would have said, look what God has done for me, I'm out of here. But no, Paul, Silas cared and loved the sick and the suffering so much. They said, don't harm yourself, jailer. We're all here. We haven't gone anywhere. And they told that jailer about Jesus, and he and his whole household were baptized. Oh, man, the jailer healed his wounds, put a meal before them, called for lights. Oh, wow. You talk about a restoration. God, you're in the restoration business. If God's speaking to your heart, I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. It's a very short prayer, but it's so powerful. It can change the world. It can change you into what Christ wants you to be. Your destiny. T.D. Jakes calls it destiny. Get that book. Pray with me if God's speaking to your heart. Simple prayer of confession and a prayer of commitment. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart. Help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed in an orderly fashion. Give the Lord a praise this morning.